So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Amazing. I think like the best part about doing this is that you just start chatting, and then you feel like you've just kind of talked about most of the stuff that you're about to say anyways. So now we're just kind of rehash exactly the whole conversation that we've had.
It is the danger of the pre-interview.
It is.
I'd also just like to do a quick shout out to anyone from my work that's listening that might not know that I'm here. No. They might think I'm, I don't know, doing something else.
Doing more. Something
work related.
Yeah. We love, it always freaks me out when I just, I love it in a good way, of course. It feels like I've been caught red-handed doing something that I've totally been allowed to do, but, you know, here we are.
Nothing like an incisive message on the text machine to send you places.
Exactly. So, Flicks and That, what have we got on, what's the topic for today?
I've got a big batch of new stuff to talk about today. Let's just crack right into it with new Aussie horror by the Filippo brothers, Bring Her Back. These are the twins who made Talk To Me a couple of years ago, made a huge splash for themselves as new original voices in the horror space. While they'd sort of risen to fame off the back of a YouTube channel, they really betrayed the fact that they are true filmmakers, I think, with that first film, and that's confirmed with Bring Her Back. They fielded a whole bunch of offers. The red carpet got rolled out by Hollywood. There was talk of them making a Street Fighter movie next. There was talk of them being attached to a whole bunch of other projects. I really like that they didn't make didn't follow up any of those options or make a sequel to Talk To Me, although apparently one is in the works, but instead went back to Australia and made another suburban horror movie that, I mean, it's not overtly not in the same universe as Talk To Me.
Gotcha.
It's another kind of contained and very suburban horror, which is often the best kind because it's familiar.
Yes.
And it's a bit kind of claustro in the suburbs.
Yeah.
The suburbs of Adelaide as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Something else, I think. The ones in here are something else.
I think there's nothing more terrifying than something that you recognize and are super familiar with, but just make it terrifying because it just makes it so personal and you're like, oh, it could happen to any one of us.
Kind of, yeah. So the premise of this is that a brother and sister are effectively fostered to the care of someone just while the older brother's waiting to turn 18 and can look after his younger sister himself. But it transpires they've kind of found themselves in a very grief-stricken household. The mum of the house, played by the great Sally Hawkins, who's been in everything from Paddington to her Oscar-nominated turn in The Shape of Water, is a seamless Aussie here, although sort of an Aussie, maybe an Aussie imported from England.
Mm-hmm.
She's mourning the loss of her daughter, who, as the film progresses, she keeps trying to find more and more similarities between her daughter and her new temporary sort of daughter.
Yep.
And she's also studying these VHS tapes that are encouraging her to perform pretty disturbing occult rituals. So something's brewing.
It sounds really fascinating. I think with their first film, my friends talked a lot about it, and I wasn't so sure about it until I watched it, and I was like, I think it's probably one of the best horror films I've ever seen in such a long time. Like, current.
That's a great big haul. I mean,
yeah.
I think that reflects the way that the reaction to Talk To Me.
Yeah, and I'm really stoked to be able to see the next one coming out. And yeah, I'm curious about a sequel to Talk To Me too.
I think they're potentially building a sort of cosmology with these films. There's similar aspects of grief. There's similar aspects of the afterlife.
Mm.
They're not contradictory of one another. So I think that they probably do exist in the same sort of occult ecosystem.
Yeah.
But this does continue their knack for casting great young actors and finding a real authenticity in young people. I think that's one of the things that makes Talk To Me so effective is that the youngsters in the film and the lives that they lead feel awfully familiar. Like even if there's a generation gap, like with myself, it just feels like it really captures that time when you're spending a lot of time sitting around in suburban houses, getting up to mischief without parents around.
Yeah.
I did talk to the Filippos around, talk to me about topics including Swidit and Nangs, which I felt both both were quite present in their in their film.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring her back. There are a couple of sequences in this film that were truly horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I also need to urge everybody, you're all adults, I'm sure you can do this yourselves, but this is not a movie to not go to the bathroom before. The whole third act is pissing down with rain.
Yes.
It's also incredibly scary.
Yes.
These are good reasons to make good choices before you enter the movie theatre.
Yeah.
Not like me.
Oh, no. Speaking of the rain, we do have an interview later on with the directors, and they do talk a lot about it, actually, so stay tuned for that. And we've also got a giveaway coming up after the interview to get some tickets to go see the movie, so such a great timing for all this.
Yeah, and I urge people to see this film in cinemas. Mm. This is the kind of classic film to see with a crowd. You want to be... shocked and reacting and pulled through the story. I'm surrounded by other people who are going
for
through
sure.
the same experience.
The best experience is when you share it with other people.
Exactly.
Wholesome.
A big segue has just come to mind. Now, there's a class of people who don't like sharing things with everybody.
Okay.
And that's tech billionaires.
Oh, gosh.
Jesse Armstrong, the chap behind Succession, has a new film coming to streaming this weekend called Mountain Head.
Okay.
Mountain Head sees four... very wealthy heads of different tech companies come together for a weekend of poker and hijinks. Mm. But at the same time, there's all sorts of sort of corporate machinations going on in the background. And also the platforms and powers of the things that they control are sending the world to hell in a handbasket. There's fake AI-generated images, there's fake news stories, and conflicts are brewing to an uncomfortable stage while these guys are just trying to chill out and have a good time and have a measuring contest. Uncannily, it has a lot of resemblances to the plot of Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, which also has a lot of like fake news reports spurring populations into activities. Mountain Head also has attempted murders, attempted drowning, attempted burning, lots of things that probably resonate with Tom Cruise's character in Mission Impossible. Also,
great.
It's just got heaps more jokes. Although I got to say, the jokes in Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning are quite good, although they're few and far between.
Of course, yeah.
this will be a great one for the couch on the weekend. And I thought Jesse Armstrong going back into a kind of satirical, the richer assholes type story might be a bit of a victory lap for Succession, I'll get a big payday for doing something very, very similar.
Yeah.
And like some of the stuff's intact. He's always been a master of people insulting each other and a master of profanity, right back to the days of The Thick of It for Armando Iannucci.
Mm.
And that's all here, but there's just something really prescient about it because this shit's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The Elon Musk analog character is not South African. He's not a caricature of Elon Musk. But man, there's a lot of similarities, and I think particularly in the egotism and disturbing self-belief and inability to kind of understand what he's actually doing. Everything's just funny.
Yeah.
It's not. The film is, it'll leave you feeling a bit uncomfortable about current events, but I think that's a great outcome to have some laughs, feel that these guys are a bunch of dicks, and then also go, uh-oh.
Oh no.
So a couple of different kinds of horror for you there.
Absolutely.
I'll just really quickly touch on something a show that wrapped this week with one of the most spectacular season finales seen in some time. And I'm not talking about The Last of Us, which was very enjoyable, although possibly a bit of a head scratcher for those uninitiated with The Last of Us 2 video game. But Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsal. I've kind of banged on about this ever since the show ever since the season started and on the first season as well. He's worked all season to bring this absurd, strange, and very uncomfortable comedy, bring it all to bear in service of improving aviation safety.
Of course.
Which is a very logical,
fantastic.
As you say, of course.
Of course.
So logical.
It's why wouldn't you?
It's what comedy was invented for.
Exactly.
I don't know why it's taken thousands of years of human culture to get to this point, but
yeah.
Thank goodness we're here. It's because I didn't have planes. I just figured it out.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Nathan ends this season making it seem like, I'm going to not spoil the finale, but guys, everyone's talking about it. If you haven't watched it and they're even thinking about it, you should check the show out.
You
it's so,
should.
So good.
It's good. And it's really, I've watched bits of Nathan and, or Nathan For You. Is that the one?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of his prior shows.
Yeah,
indeed. I think he calls that his a comedy show I used to make called Nathan For You, as if the rehearsal is not itself a comedy show. It is.
It is.
It's not.
And it's terrible. It's amazing how much you laugh, but then also cringe. You feel like you're kind of dying inside, but then also it's just like you're just watching something so strange unfold, and you just want more of it. I just love his style. Yeah, you should totally check it out. It's great to see him pop up again.
Isn't it just? And there's this fantastic discrepancy that powers the show for me. Mm. It's that he's got these like unbelievable resources to make it.
Mm.
The scale is like mind-boggling for how niche the comedy is.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, there's this huge, huge, crazy scale. And on the other hand, he's just kind of mining this territory of making himself a more and more unlikable person on screen,
mm-hmm.
and making the show deeply personal to the point where the final scenes of the finale, what's taking place on screen, you won't understand what you're watching. Like, it's hard to comprehend just how kind of vast this thing has gotten.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is all about him, and you kind of and it's kind of framed like everything we've just watched, this journey we've been taking on, has all been just so he can feel a little bit better about the voices inside his own head.
Aww.
Yeah, but yeah, also, like, we can't, isn't the world full of people that are spending resources to make the voices in their own head okay?
Yeah.
Not sure I totally agree with it.
No.
But, man, it's a good watch, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. No, that's such a fantastic, so stoked to see that coming through. And, check that out. Bring Her Back and
Mountainhead, which is on Neon from, I believe it's Saturday. It's this weekend.
Okay, great. And there you go. You've got your weekend.
It's a
sorted.
Really good Sunday night watch. Is my tip. Oh, and yes. And tonight I'll be watching none of these because I'll be on the couch for Rugby League State of Origin. Go
Ooh,
Queensland.
There we go. I don't know if I should agree with that, but yeah, go Queensland. Thank you for coming in. I won't see you next week, but we will hear you another time. That was words. And I'm going to press a button.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.